everyone. My name's Hannah.
And I'm Abby.
And we are
the Homegirl Hustlers.
We are here to be your guides on how to adjust your mindset, lifestyle, and habits to become the best version of yourself and pursue your passion without limits. Welcome back, Homegirl Hustlers, to another episode. This episode is 5 ways to turn your side hustle into a successful business. So imagine this point of view. You found what you're passionate about, and you've been working on bringing it to life. You've been grinding away at your side hustle while working to make ends meet, and you are ready to plan to make the plunge and go all in. But how do you know if you're ready? What should you be thinking about and preparing to make it happen and make it a reality? Your Homegirl Hustlers, aka me and Abby, know from experience. We took our passion for marketing and we turned it into a successful marketing company in just 1 year. In this episode, we're going to talk about 5 big ways to turn your side hustle into a successful business and give you insight on our personal experience. This is an episode that you don't want to miss. And for our note takers, make sure you have a pen and pencil or a laptop handy. So this is a really popular topic when it comes to women with our side hustles, with passions. Figuring out how to make them come to life and actually take the plunge to go all in is super research topic, and people have a lot of questions about it when it comes to how to actually make that happen. So with Abby and I, we want to start with our personal examples, and then we'll kind of go into the ways that we have for you guys today. So for me personally, when it comes to my journey of taking Abby and I's side hustle and making it a reality with our marketing company, I have things involved like Orange Theory, like influencer work that I want to talk about when it comes to my transition from making our side hustle a reality. So for me, when it came to Abby and I talking about we wanted to start a company, we wanted to do this marketing stuff, we were both going at it, you know, on the side a lot throughout college. And we had jobs that had marketing involved. We were doing freelancing work that had marketing involved. We were both pursuing the side hustle pretty regularly. But then when it came to actually starting the company, me personally, I was also coaching at Orange Theory. And so I wanted to think about, you know, with the side hustle, turning it into a reality, making an LLC, making a company and going for it, how much money would I be able to make with that a month? Is that enough for me to live? And that's where Orange Theory kind of comes in, where that's the job that I was working full time along with freelancing on the side, obviously, beforehand. And so what I did with Orange Theory is I just like cut my class load basically in half and was still able to manage that. And then when it comes to influencer work, I also do like freelancing and different stuff for like influencer work, micro influencer work for brands in town. So for me, when it came to taking the plunge, I had to cut half my class load with the job that I was working before and adjust my entire lifestyle to working full time for Boost Your Brand. Now for Boost Your Brand, Abby and I pretty much put in tons of hours. Like, again, she'll have her time when she talks about her taking the plunge. For me, it's like 8 to 12 hours a day now working with Boost Your Brand. And so I had to prepare myself when taking that plunge. And that involved me working out my prior experiences with Orange Theory, changing that, shifting that for me, you know, working early mornings and late nights. So I had majority of the day to work on Boost Your Brand. And then also with influencer work, maybe taking more gigs than I would prior because I had to make up for lost income. Because taking the plunge, like, you don't make a ton of money right away. It's not this huge, exciting thing all the time. You have to invest a lot, save a lot to be able to invest back into the company that you're doing. So personally, that's a little bit of my transition and how I was able to incorporate my other jobs and passions while making that plunge.
Yes, definitely have to be dedicated to making that transition. For me, I guess corporate America was the big thing that was taking up a lot of time in my life. And I was just working a 9-to-5 kind of job. I actually have a job that's more flexible. So I was able to go to work at like 7 a.m. and work till like 2:30, go back home, do some admin work, whatever. And so it was actually easier for me to like integrate what I love because I had the rest of my day to just do whatever I wanted. And so I would go to the gym, do whatever, but I kind of like accidentally tripped on my side hustles because I would just do them until I went to sleep, wake up, go to the gym, then go to work at 7 a.m. again. it was a big transition when it came to Boost Your Brand, though, because with Boost Your Brand needed intentionality. And I wasn't giving that intentionality. I was just like, I would pull an all-nighter watching YouTube videos to learn about how to send email marketing campaigns because I'm a nerd. But when it comes when it comes to like building a business, there's things that need to be done that you just don't want to make a priority, or you have to make a priority and you didn't even think about them yet. So now what I do is, again, we will talk about this in a lot of episodes, I'll time block. So from that 5 to 7, for me, even right now, I time block my days. I have to be home by 7:30. Okay, that's my thing. If I'm not home by 7:30 a.m., if I go to the gym or whatever, if I'm not showering, getting ready, then my day's already thrown off. From there, I'll go get ready, take about 30 minutes, and then take an hour to just like send emails, do all the admin things for Boost Your Brand. And then 9 o'clock, I'll start my job. And my job, again, is flexible. So I'm in the car a lot. I am also able to like stop at a cafe if I need to. So I will integrate my meetings and my meeting times into my workday. And again, that took a lot of being able to shift your mindset to and from one thing to another. But I learned to do that. And then after work, I will make time from after dinner until I go to bed. If I need to finish anything else, I'll do it then. But it did take a while for me to like build that out, because Boost Your Brand just started to need more and more and more and more and more of my time. Like, I still remember pulling 3 all-nighters in a row. That was not healthy. But like, it kept asking for more of our time and we weren't ready. And so we had to adjust quickly. I know another thing you mentioned, Hannah, was just like investing our money into it. I always say to people, even like our own clients, you either have time or you have money. So which one do you have more of? If you have more time, then I can tell you what to do and you can go do it. If you have more money, then you pay me to do it for you. And that's the same thing with this transition to doing your side hustle. If there's something that needed to get done, Hannah and I, we eventually had to take pay cuts in our own company, like pretty hefty pay cuts, where we were like, okay, we need to hire more people because we can't do this all on our own. We don't have time. So let's invest our money. And so that was one thing too that we had to do. My dad's a financial advisor. And at the end of the year, he's like, all your money went to Boost Your Brand, Abby. I'm like, yes, Dad. He's like, are you going to redo your budget this year? And I was like, but he saw that even a lot of my just like investing in my time, my resources, things like that were to build my brand because I wanted to invest in it how I could.
Yes, I love that. And that kind of takes us into the first way of how to turn your side hustle into a business. When it comes to everything, is our first step is figuring out the logistics. You got to figure out the logistics. And so with Abby saying, you know, money and all this stuff, some people think, oh, I'm going to start a side hustle and I'm going to make all this money and all this stuff. It's like, the reality is, if you actually look it up, the first year of business, you're not looking to make money. You are looking to, and if you do make money, you're looking to invest it. You're looking to put it back into the company somehow. Like Abby said, with time, like we had to invest in literally more employees or hiring or however that looked like, you know, for our end when it came to, you know, saving us more time or resources, whatever that looks like. But when it comes to figuring out the logistics, you need to figure out first, how much do you need to make to survive?
Oh, literally to survive. What is your cost of living?
There you go, Abby. Yes. So how much do you absolutely need to like pay your rent? If you have a car, if you have a car note, how much do you have to pay your car note? You know, it may be time to cut some things out, like some unnecessary subscriptions that you have that may not be necessary to survival. How much are your groceries? You know what I mean? Like, figure out your legit cost to survive. And even if it isn't enough, but you feel like you want to go all in, like, for example, if I'm want to go all in with my business, but I know if I quit my job, I may be $500 short a month, or I may be $600 short a month. Okay, well, first step is figuring that out. But then if you want to go all in, when it comes to that, like, if that shouldn't stop you necessarily, maybe you could potentially wait tables on the weekends, or maybe you could nanny or babysit for like a family on the weekends, or maybe you could be an Uber driver. Abby, let's not even go there. Oh my gosh.
Well, I wanted to add to that. Really, it's finding something that's flexible enough for you to be able to do that while pursuing your hustle. Like all those things, what they have in common, waiting tables, nannying, all those things are based on shifts, right? Even that's why I joked about, yes, Bottle Girls, Orange Theory. You make your own schedule. You understand what you're committed to there. A 9 to 5, that's 40 hours a week where someone demands your presence no matter what. And they can shift it, add appointments or whatever. But if you want to go all in and you want that flexibility, those are options as well. And you might be making less, but if you know your cost of living, you know what you need to survive, like Hannah said, then that's what you need to at least make. And that way, you're giving yourself more time rather than, again, focusing on the money.
Exactly. Like Abby was saying, it's all about flexibility and it doesn't sometimes just come to you. Like when it came to Orange Theory, I literally like got that job for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons was I knew I had to have something flexible because of Boost Your Brand and going all in. So make sure that you're prepared for that. And then you have to also consider things like health insurance and benefits and rainy days. What happens if your car breaks down? Do you have money saved to fix it? What happens if you own a house and your washer breaks? Do you have funds to be able to pay for that? What happens if, you know, you end up, you know, getting into a car accident and you need to pay out? Or what happens if you break an arm and you need health insurance? You need to be thinking about all those things now so that you are mentally even prepared. Okay, if a rainy day happens, if these things happen, I know how I'm going to be able to fix it. Obviously, you can't plan out everything, but it's just something to keep in mind, especially if you're leaving a corporate job that gives you benefits. Like, think about those things when it comes to that. And then also thinking about your goal, like, are you trying to make X amount per year eventually? And like, how will you get there? So along with this thinking about the logistics, you do have to think about, okay, how much can I make this year? How much am I going to be projected to make this year? And then figure that out as well and make sure you have goals to get you there. And the last thing within this step is consider if you go full-time and take off, you need to think of future expenses, hiring, and things to keep in mind. And Abby kind of talked about this in the beginning, but think about, oh, I'm making so much money. This is going really well. Well, with growth comes what? With growth comes more expenses. You're going to have to get payroll. You're going to have to hire people. You're going to have to outsource things. It's, and the list goes on and on. Abby and I definitely realized that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hannah, I didn't even tell you. Our overhead expenses went up so high this year. We started with $0 or what? Like $50 of subscriptions. And we're like, yeah, I already have Adobe. I already have
it's
these
easy,
things.
Yeah.
This is easy. We have no overhead expenses. Now we've built systems that require subscriptions per team member. We've built things that we need to manage our accounting, things that cost 30, 40, 50 bucks a month, 60 bucks a month for like just the systems that we're building out. And at that point, that becomes $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, $3,000 a year. And I was doing the math the other day and I was like, oh Lord, I wasn't ready for this, but we were able to take that on. And we were conscious of it. Like me just even checking on those things. We're conscious of it. Double check the numbers. You're aware, then you can continue to keep moving, but just keep those things in mind.
Exactly. Something that you think you're like, oh, this is going great. I have very little overhead expenses. And then you grow and you're like, wait, I'm going to have to pay out way more than I thought. So that concludes our first way to turn your side hustle into a successful business, which is honestly one of the most important ones, is figuring out the logistics. Moving into our second way is preparing your mind for the time commitment.
This is so important. This is so...
I'm just going to have Abby start with this.
Girl, you have to prepare your mind for the time commitment. If you are going full-time for a side hustle, you'll see on Instagram all the time, I quit my 9 to 5 so that I didn't have to work 40 hours a week. Now I work 24/7. Yep. Good luck. Going full-time with your hustle, especially just starting out, it sometimes means 12 to 15 hour work days. Sometimes means answering the phone every time it rings. I have friends that have, like, they're entrepreneurs, and when my phone rings and I don't answer it, they are like, Abby? And I'm like, what, like, your phone is ringing? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. I'm doing something right now. But to them, it's like money could be calling and you are ignoring that. Or a customer could be calling and you're ignoring it. So you are literally your job. Hannah and I, again, time commitment. When we go on vacation, I went to DR in September and I was like, yeah, I'm going to put my work away. I literally mentally couldn't fathom doing that because I'm like, what if this thing that I'm in charge of crumbles, that everyone else is going to crumble? I'm going to have to play catch up anyways. Nobody's going to do it for me. So you really have to think about the time commitment that you're going to be making, because it's not going to make sense to a lot of other people. They're like, oh, you're killing yourself for no reason. It's like, no, I'm trying to do something that I truly, truly see myself doing for a long time and being passionate about. Okay, well, that brings us to like the second like sub point here, being ready for the time commitment. Make sure that this is what you truly love and are passionate about. Because look, when these unexpected changes happen and you spend more time than you anticipated doing a project, if your heart is invested in it, I think that is the main difference between stress and passion, honestly. Because when someone calls me and when I'm doing something that is like I label as a job and someone's like, oh, this change needs to be made, I'm like, are you kidding me? I hate it here. But when it's like marketing stuff, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. This will make it better. Let's move. Let's do this. Let's go. And I'm not worried about how much time it's going to take me or exactly like how much it's going to wear and tear on me, because I'm invested in it. I want it to be great. It is my thing. I'm committed to it. And it doesn't matter to me anymore because I've prepared my mindset for the commitment to make this thing the best that it can be.
And going off of that, I think Abby's 1000% right when it comes to making sure that you're passionate and that you really do love what you do, because a lot of people will start companies, again, just to make money, and they may not love it. They may start, like, for example, you start a laundromat in town. You may not be super passionate about laundry. And then when you have to work 24/7 to make that laundromat in town go, you might get mad and you might get stressed and you might hate your life. Because you started the business literally just to make money. But if you started the laundromat because your goal and purpose in life is to serve people, and your goal with that laundromat is to bring the best service and serve people in the best way, then anytime something happens, you're going to be in the mindset of serving, of like, wait, no, I love this. And even though this is a challenge, it has an opportunity for me to serve people better. How can I serve people better? And that's going to be your mindset. So it's like, whatever you choose to do, make sure that it is tied to some passion of yours, because you are going to spend a hell of a lot of time with it. You are going to be stressed probably to the max with it. And if you don't love it, what's it all for anyway? You know, you just have to make sure that it's something that you really do love and you're passionate about. If you want to make it work, it's a commitment. And then also, don't forget, this is something that we kind of forget sometimes, is like, especially me and Abby, but it's like, don't forget that once you prepare your mind, you also have to prepare your friends and family too. You can't just disappear across the face of the planet because you have started something and you're going to work and you're doing all these things. You're working 12, 15 hour days and your family's like, so where are you at? Like, are you ever going to come see me again? Are you ever going to attend things again? And then your friends are like, let's go out on Friday. Let's get dinner. And you're always saying no or not responding. It's like, then you lose your family and friends, like that connection that you have with them, because you didn't just tell them, hey, I'm like working on this and this is my schedule now. If you want to plan something with me, it has to be like around this time or whatever it is for you, setting those boundaries, but you have to communicate with them to let them know about the time commitment instead of just disappearing, which some people have the tendency to do.
I literally disappear once every 3 months. I'm sorry, everybody listening to this.
Abby's like, I feel so called out.
No, but it is funny because all you have to do is say like, hey, sorry, I haven't called you in a while. I've been working on blah, blah, blah. And honestly, the people that care about you, your family and friends, they want to hear about that too. They want to be a part of your journey. So it's not like a big deal to them once you explain it. But if you didn't prepare them for that change in who you're planning on being, what you're committing your time to, then you can't expect them to just automatically be like reasoning with you doing this to the capacity. Exactly. Exactly.
That's amazing. And I think that too kind of ends our second sub point of preparing your mind for the time commitment. And just a reminder to also prepare your loved ones, people who are in your close inner circle. But going into the third way, this kind of ties in a little bit about what we were talking about in our first way, which is save and invest back into your company. Don't spend every penny you earn. You will need it later. take what you need to survive. Like, if you need an X amount to survive and you know what that is, like, yes, you need that to survive and pay bills. But the rest of it, like, you should be really investing back into growing your company because you are going to need it for growth. If you want to grow that company and you do have revenue goals and you have other goals that you want to hit, you are going to need, money's a resource. You are going to need that to be able to fuel those things.
Mm-hmm. This is a huge one. Like, again, people really sleep on saving and investing back into the company because everyone's focused on getting paid and getting that earning back. Like, Hannah and I didn't pay ourselves for a really long time. And I think at some point we still barely pay.
Like, we get a percentage. It's like, we still don't. Yeah.
But we didn't pay ourselves at all. And at some point we're like, okay. Like, we should pay ourselves so that we can at least, like, give ourselves a reward for doing what we need. But 60% of what we make is put right back into our company. Again, this is a sacrifice that we had to commit to together, but we realized that we will grow our business big enough where we can get paid exactly what we want in the future. Right now, we have low cost of living. We have really easy lifestyles.
We're in our early 20s. Exactly. We don't have all these big things that we have to pay for right now.
Exactly. So now's the time to take that pay cut, go through your little struggle years, and invest.
You're
into
in your 20s. Everyone else is struggling in their 20s. No, and if they're not, they're lying. Don't look at someone who's in their 20s with this Lamborghini and this big house and think that that's honest. No. Like, unless you're a celebrity, like...
I know a couple, but only a couple. Like, every other 20-something-year-old, not even just, like, early 20s. No, like, 20 to 29, they are like, I'm trying to figure this out. And so, a lot of the times, it comes from us caring what other people think about us, but, like...
Wait, Abby, what's that quote where it's like, don't spend money you don't have trying to impress people that don't care.
Yes.
I think it's something like that where it's like, don't spend all this money trying to impress people that, like, won't even care anyway, you know?
Yeah. You know, you're the long-term investment for yourself, then invest in yourself. And then I like this next point we had. Remember, taxes are a thing. LOL. Yes. Do not forget that you're going to have to pay taxes. And if you didn't balance your expenses with your income and, like, reach a net revenue of zero, then you are going to pay taxes.
What a shock.
Yeah. Like, again, we said 60% of our money is put back into our business. Well, 20%, I'm like, don't touch this 20%. I don't know how much they're going to take in taxes. This is for taxes. Don't touch. So, like, depending on where you're at or if you have expenses or not, if you're just earning money, remember that's going to be taxed. If you have expenses that balance it out, you're not going to get taxed on so much money. But do save enough so that when taxes come around, you're not taken aback, surprised, pulling out of your pocket, selling your like mattress because you weren't ready. I'm so sorry.
But it's a thing. You might remember it in the beginning of the year, and then something might happen and you have to pull out of your savings where you had money saved for taxes, and then tax season comes around and you're like, oh crap, what did I just do? So just, like, remember that they're a thing. But also, throughout this time when we were putting this outline together, like Abby and I have said before, we use experiences, but we also read different articles and do research on these topics. And one of the great articles we found was actually from entrepreneur.com. And it was a really great tip, and it was all about, you know, turning your side gig into a full-time job and going after your passions and taking the plunge. And they mentioned something that is really important. Depending on your business, this is going to depend on the startup that you have, obviously, if you don't have super high overhead costs, don't jump into loans and investments right away. So this is something that they brought up from experience from different entrepreneurs, but they said, let your business start small, enjoy the challenges and opportunities that come with it, and let it prove itself before taking on lots of debt. And they said that a lot of companies like Apple, Microsoft, all these companies, they didn't start with millions of dollars of seed money from investors and do all this stuff. They started small in garages with ideas and passions and projects, and then they grew. Once the idea turned itself into the opportunity than it was. So don't just jump in. Again, this is, you know, take it as it is for whatever business you're starting. But, like, especially for Abby and I, we've been able to do so much with no loan and investor money. And that is honestly proof in itself that our concept, our business model, everything that we stand for in the company is working. You know, if you had all this money to just spend and invest and you're kind of doing all right, it's like, okay, that's good. But at the same time, if you don't have anything and you're able to make something out of nothing, that shows and kind of proves itself that it's going to be successful. And it's just a really good start. Plus debt, a lot of debt can cause a lot of stress and can cause you to do things that you may not normally do. They can cause you to move differently than you may want to move because you might be moving out of fear or moving out of stress instead of moving out of passion, purpose, and faith.
Mm-hmm. When you have a bigger purpose, you don't want to have to always be looking back at, am I making enough to pay off these loans that I didn't need to take out? Things like that. I think like this also, I know you said loans and investments, but I'll also say like investors. Like Hannah and I said no to multiple investors because we were like, first, we're giving out a piece of our company without even having it done yet. Like we don't even have the company built out.
We don't have the evaluation.
Give us money. And I'm like, okay, we're going to give you a percentage of everything that we earn for a chunk of money. Maybe we earn $10,000 and you make 10% until you only walk away with $1,000. But what if we make $1,000,000 and you walk away with that big chunk of money just for giving us a penny or two before we even started? So like, be careful with that. Remember, you're in it for the long run. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. Again, this is really relative to what you're starting. So like, maybe you're starting something where you need to build something. Exactly. You might need a little bit of money to build that rocket. To at least build a prototype. But let yourself enjoy the challenges. Have that business acumen that you need to actually let your business like run like a plumbing system. Like our goal is to make a system that makes our business like sellable to a certain extent. And then we can start taking on money if we know how to grow with that money. But if you don't know what to do with it yet, then don't feel rushed to take anything or give anyone any chunk of your business.
Yes, it's a good thing to think about because people, I think, first are like, oh, if I get investor money, if I get all this money, then I can pay myself a salary and I can make a ton of money while I'm doing all this. And it's like, that's not even the mindset you should have. Again, like get out of the mindset of you're going to make a ton of money for yourself this year and get into the mindset of I'm going to grow this passion. I'm going to grow this business. It's going to, you know, you're investing in something bigger than yourself. That's where the mindset has to come from. And plenty of books, especially that Abby and I have read lately, have been going into that as well. But our fourth way to turn your side hustle into a successful business is know that entrepreneurship is a lonely journey. Set things in place to protect your mental health and protect you from burnout. I've read multiple books on this. This quote is like everywhere nowadays too. It's like an empty road and there's like one entrepreneur and it says like the journey, because it's true. Like when you're starting out, you don't have a team. You don't have bosses, you don't have coworkers, you don't have a board, you don't have a bunch of people ready to help you. It is you. No one's going to make you work. You got to do it. And that there's pros and cons to that, but what is that? That's loneliness. Like it's just you kind of against the world. It can really have an effect. I mean, we're blessed. Abby and I.
Yeah. I'm a little like opposite though, but I like being alone. So I never saw it as lonely.
That's good for you, Abby. No, that is good for
but
you.
But like, truly?
We also, though, I will say, I was going to make my next point too with us is like, we have each other, which is really nice. Like, I couldn't imagine doing everything that we have accomplished in the last year by myself and not have a partner to like go to for advice, support. Like there are moments in your career that are like, oh my gosh, I'm like have a lot of anxiety right now, or I'm facing something really challenging right now. And if I didn't have Abby as a partner, like I don't know what I would do. Like a lot of my other friends are great, but they may not understand where I'm coming from or how I'm moving or where my head's at. Abby and I are blessed where we kind of get that with each other. But if we didn't have each other, it's like it would just be you. And that's like when you make a wrong step, which again, we're human. Not every step we're going to take is perfect. When you make a wrong move or you make a wrong step or things don't pan out how you wanted to and you don't have someone to kind of like be there with you, it can be pretty lonely and pretty hard.
That is very true. That's true. I guess I will say too, like this one, I do agree with like it being a lonely journey, but I don't always like to put a negative connotation to it, because I really do think sometimes when you're doing what you love, like, you're going to be all right. And you're going to find the people that are like-minded just naturally because you're pursuing it. But I know there were times where I first started like doing entrepreneurial things.
You are also very mentally tough people, Abby, I do want to say.
No, I'm introverted. It's not about being mentally tough. I'm very introverted. Like, I truly...
It's about mental toughness. You don't break off of like any little thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's like, so true. Because like when I'm like, oh, dang, I have no friends. Then I'm like, let me go find some friends because I need friends. But I truly don't think I need friends. And I'm not naturally like, oh, my gosh, I lost all these people. I'm like, no, they're all here. But I think, too, I might just have really loyal people around me. So like I'm not afraid of losing them because they understand and they're also pursuing similar things, which that is leading to our first point, which is find other like-minded people to go to for support. I could be by myself for a whole month and talk to nobody, but I also have like friends who will put their head down and work, hustle, grind, and do something that maybe seems outlandish to everyone else, but just thoroughly believe in themselves enough to pursue it so wholeheartedly that you find people along your journey that you can go to. It is lonely when like you are looking for, okay, I want to go out on this day for this event, but I have no friends because I haven't socialized in 3 months. That's when it gets lonely, if you are that person that craves those kinds of people.
Or all your friends are going out on Friday night and you have work up to your neck and you can't join them and you are constantly feeling FOMO, you know?
Yes.
Like there, and there's a lot of different ways about it. I will say majority of entrepreneurs aren't like they're very similar to us, where they aren't like quick to break when it comes to being lonely or when it comes to different things. Like they're okay with riding solo, like a lone wolf type thing. And so I get where we are like that, but there can be a lot of times, again, if Abby and I didn't have each other, where it can wear you down. You can get close to hitting burnout and just be so like hit the wall, and you're like, and then you haven't spent time with your family and friends. And what if you aren't super close with them in the first place? Then you haven't spent time with them. So then what are you going to do? Break down when you haven't talked to them in a month?
They're going to be like, oh, you're just coming to me because you need me. Yeah. Like you just need me now. That's a huge one. I've heard that. One of my cousins on here, he's like half joking, half serious, but he always is like, Abby only comes to me when she needs me. And it's like, I truly don't think I need anyone, but I will come to you when I'm free. And he thinks like I need him now. And I'm like, no, but it's because I wasn't able to, like, I didn't make time for them when they were free or when they asked me to hang out. And then when I had time, then I go to them. And it's like, you do want to make sure that
like you're not on their schedule.
Mm-hmm. And you do have to make sure to like find those like-minded people, people that understand, people that you can go to for support, unlike those things. I think I'm just against the lonely journey quote, but everything else is 100% true, relatable, things that we've gone through. Like, and reaching burnout is a huge one. I think when you said protect yourself from burnout, that is huge. Hannah doesn't even know how many times she's protected me from burnout because she's someone that's like-minded and I could go to her for support. I've had moments where I literally lacked motivation so much, but then I just call that one friend with the same mindset as me, and she's like, let's go. Like, this is what I'm working on today. What are you working on? How are you doing? Where's everything at? And it's like, other people might be like, oh, let's go grab a drink and get drunk tonight and hang out in Miami. And it's like, that's not going to help me. Yeah. But like having people that are like-minded, understand and supportive definitely is something that I've always needed. And two, I'll say my mentors. So I have my godfather. I used to talk to him when I first started entrepreneurial stuff. Actually, still, I used to talk to him every day, at least once a day, every day for at least a year. Then maybe it would go every other day. But when I started Booster Brand, it was back to every single day. So I always had somebody to help me and guide me and that knows me enough to be like, hey, you're about to hit a wall. Hey, you're about to hit burnout. Hey, did you work out today? Did you eat? Because you do need that. Otherwise you do feel alone and just the only person reliable for your wellness and your well-being. And it is hard, very hard.
Yes. And even with this way being like knowing the not, so like this way is knowing that entrepreneurship is a lonely journey and set things in place to protect your mental health and protect you from burnout. Like one of those things that's really important going into this is like also putting boundaries in place for your mental health. So like, for example, me that's working out, like, again, I may have a million things to do in that day, but if I don't work out, I'm going to be more stressed and I'm going to like collapse like a dying star and just be the worst version of myself because I didn't do that one thing or those two things or whatever it is, small, medium, or large, whatever they are, to help my mental health. Your business needs the best version of you, and you need to make sure that you have done what you can do to bring that version to the table as often as you can. It's not like, I need to understand too, like take accountability. It's not Abby's job to like, you know, when it comes to like for me bringing my best version of myself, like Abby's in charge of Abby. I'm in charge of me. Yes, we check up on each other and we're friends and we're business partners and we care. But like ultimately, I need to be the one to put boundaries in place to know what I need for my mental health and take action on that. If I know that I'm going to need to get up an hour early and do a workout for my mental health, I need to be able to just text Abby or communicate that and be able to set that boundary in place of, hey, I'm going to work out for this hour. I'm turning my phone on, do not disturb for an hour because I need that for my mental health so that I can, when I'm done with that, give everything I can and the best version of me to my work. And so making sure that you put boundaries in place for your mental health is important. And then like, yes, we're going to work hard, but we don't want to burn out. And we also have an episode. I can't remember exactly
episode
which number.
Episode 13.
Look at Abby. You're always coming in clutch with knowing the episode numbers.
Episode 13 is all about burnout, just making sure that you know how to identify it and then also knowing how to recover from it if you are dealing with it. Again, this is something that I didn't have burnout happen until, again, building a like full-on business and having 100% intentionality. You realize that, yes, you're passionate about this, but also you have to do some things that you don't set out to do. You have to be like, Hannah, I pulled out an Excel doc last week. Okay, I never thought I'd see
that. I don't want to talk about this. This is not something I need the public to know. I hate Excel, guys. I literally dread it with a purpose. And I pulled out an Excel doc from one of our like clients, like a project we were working on. I made it myself. I organized it. I put some colors in there. I didn't do anything fancy with formulas. Okay, I just organized all the information. And Abby was so proud of me because she knows that everything in my being hates Excel. But I had to do this because it was the most convenient and efficient way for the business. So I put aside my habits and my feelings, and I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was good.
It was great. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I don't want to talk about it anymore because it's triggering me and I'm feeling feelings I don't want to feel right now because I hate Excel.
But that shows though that you went in at some points you had to take the things that you hate and still make time for those just so that you can excel in your passion and turning yourself into a successful business rather than just doing your passion as a freelancer. Those are two different things. And you do risk burnout when you are building something, especially from scratch. That leads us to step five. So the fifth way is
the last one.
Yes, the last one. Do not wait for a perfect time. Just do it. Okay. Turning your side hustle to a side business, there is no perfect timing for this. The perfect time will never come. Taking the leap is scary, and you know you can only prepare so much. So when you have to take that leap, take the leap. When your heart wants you to take that leap, take the leap. Make it happen. I will always say, like, I'm a front loader. But when it comes to like your heart literally being like, this is the right time to do this, do it. Because that feeling cannot always be duplicated. That feeling cannot always be replicated. That feeling came because you truly wanted something and you're passionate about it. Those are the moments where you sit down, you write down all your ideas, you write down outlines, you write down business plans, you make presentations, you make a website, whatever it is that you like to do. Build that business around it when you're passionate about it, because that is when you can build the foundation for you to take that leap. And then taking the leap is just going to be step by step after that. This one is, again, I used to just make imaginary brands because when my heart felt, Abby, you came up with a great idea, you should do this one day. I will go and make a logo, collars, website, everything, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this one day. I'll make an outline, whatever it is. And that's because those moments will not come again. Those aha moments don't always come again. So take the leap when you feel that.
I was just going to, you know, touch again on there's never going to be a right time and you cannot be in control of everything. And there are going to be things that you don't know. There are just going to be things that you don't know and you have to have faith. So when it comes to it, you have to just make the leap. And again, Abby kind of touched on it, but really it's just, I just wanted to reiterate that, like, you have to also have faith and know that, you know, if you plan out as much as you can plan out, at some point you just got to take the leap. But that's all I was going to touch on.
Yeah. So the next point with the perfect timing is just making sure you have a good circle around you. This is like a thing to do in life in general, but when you do start pursuing your passions, you want to make sure you have the right people around you. So it's not always about the timing, but also about the environment you're in, the things you're involved in, the things you're doing. Because if you have people that are like, that like hate their lives and get jealous of you and all these things and are going to tell you that things aren't going to work out before you even pursue them, that's also going to cause you to procrastinate you pursuing your own passions. So keep an eye out on that. Again, I will like invite people to just like sit down with me, work on stuff. I'll talk about their businesses, stuff like that. But like, if I'm not sold that you're actually passionate about what you do, I would probably never hang out with you ever again because you don't need people that are doubting you, slowing you down around you when you're already taking a huge leap of faith to pursue what's important to you.
And going off of that, the reason too, you want to make sure that you have a good circle around you is like, yes, Abby said it's a good point in life, but like if you do crash and burn or if something happens, like you have people around you that care about you. Yes, your circle might be tight and that's honestly a good thing in my opinion. I think like, honestly, you don't need all these hundreds of people around you like saying all these things. I think you really just do need a good circle, like a good close circle of people that care about you. But they're really there too to help keep you in check. Like you're going on this journey and you want people to be able to check in on you, to see how you're doing with your mental health, to see how you're handling the rest of your life, because you are going to be in the zone, man, starting this business. And so it's good to have those people around you check in on you. And then kind of the last like thing that we want to touch on within this don't wait for a perfect time, just do it, is when you do just do it, you have to be willing to say no to distractions and other things that are keeping you back from going for it or holding you in the past. Or maybe it's these habits that you kind of tend to go into, like going out with friends all the time or like wasting time watching Netflix like all the time and binging seasons on all doing all these things. Like there's going to be things that you're just going to have to say no to in order for you to focus, take the plunge and go for it. So be willing and know in your head too, like, hey, like there are things that I'm going to have to say no to. There are things that I'm going to have to sacrifice, but that sacrifice is worth it because you're building something bigger than yourself and you are actually taking the chance and going for your passion.
Yes. I didn't have anything to add to that. Again, pretty straightforward.
Yes. Well, then we can do a quick recap for our note takers out there. So again, this is 5 ways to turn your side hustle into a successful business. Our first way is figuring out the logistics. Our second way is preparing your mind for the time commitment and the people that you love. Our third way is saving and investing back into your company, so not spending every penny we earn. Fourth way is knowing that entrepreneurship is a lonely journey. Set things in place to protect your mental health and protect you from burnout. And our last and fifth way, don't wait for a perfect time. Just do it. So we hope these ways about how to take your side hustle into a successful business are helpful for you guys. Abby and I personally, we can definitely speak to experience on this thing. When it comes to all this stuff, we have definitely had to make different changes because we are in our early 20s making all these sacrifices and having a different mindset than a lot of people around us. And we've had to really set the focus and kind of go all in when it comes to our business. And we've really been able to see a lot of growth and see a lot of great things, not because we just sat and watched it happen, but because we worked and we made it happen. So if you guys need to reach out, if you have any questions or like want to know anything else, feel free to DM us on our Homegirl Hustlers Instagram, join our Homegirl Hustlers private Facebook group. And then again, if you have any other topics or anything you guys want to hear from us, like feel free to let us know. We're here for you. Abby's just smiling. I wish you could see her. She's like smiling. She's like, thumbs up. Like we're good. Well, that is everything for today. And we hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day wherever you guys are listening from. And tune in for our episode next week.
Peace out, homegirls.
Bye.